أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. ويروهم آيات المقدرة من سقف فوقهم مرفوع، ومهاد تحتهم موضوع، ومعايش تحيهم، وآجال تفنيهم. We were discussing the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha, where we reached the point when the Imam alayhi salam discussed the descendants of the progeny of Adam alayhi salam on the earth, and then Allah, according to his promise that he had promised Adam alayhi salam, that I will send guidance to your children, and whoever follows that guidance would not need to fear or to have any sorrow. Then Allah started to send his prophets one after another. They came to ask human beings to discharge the duty and to fulfill the pledge that they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their fitrah. They asked them to fulfill it, and also to remind them of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are forgotten, and also to bring the buried part of intellect out of the from the load of different types of things which has covered it, to bring it out, plow human soul and bring the intellect out so that they could think themselves about the issues. And this is what we stopped, the statement here is where we stopped last week. وَيُرُوهُمْ آيَاتِ الْمَقْدِرَةِ, and show them the signs of the power of God. Of course, we don't need someone to show these things to us, because we see them ourselves. However, since we do not look attentively, since we do not watch in the way that we have to pay attention to these things, prophets have come to just remind us, just to tell us, look, watch, look around yourself and see all these signs of power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, what they are going to show them? What are these signs of power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are going to show to people? Well, the very thing that we see every day in our everyday life, but we do not pay attention to it. مَنْ سَقْفٍ فَوْقَهُمْ مَرْفُوٌ, to look at the ceiling which is raised above their heads, the skies, and what is above us. Of course, we could take this to be the atmosphere of the earth, which is like a very firm ceiling covering us from different types of material, dangerous things coming from the sky towards the earth. This is one of the meanings of the sky, sama, in the Quran, is the atmosphere of the earth. In Surah Anbiya especially, when it is mentioned, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوْقَكُمْ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا, we have made the sky above you to be a very firm ceiling covering you from anything coming towards you. وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُؤْرِضُونَ, and people are turning away from the signs that there are inside this very firm ceiling above their head. And also, of course, there are other meanings to the sky in the Quran, but this very concept of the sky being ceiling can be referred to the atmosphere of the earth very much. مِنْ سَقْفٍ فَوْقَهُمْ مَرْفُوعٍ, also the very fact that we see the stars above us is just like a ceiling, although there are scattered stars all around. However, without any pillar that we can see, as it is mentioned in the Quran, all these are arranged in the spacious, the huge space of universe is another sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to see. In the Quran we have a mention of these pillars which we cannot see. بغير عمد ترونها. We have raised the heavens, the stars, without the pillar that you can see. There is a pillar there. There are forces that are keeping these things together, which are like pillars. Very, very strong forces of gravity, of magnetic force, and all these things. But we do not see them. So these are the things that we have to pay attention to. ومهادن تحتكم موضوع. And the earth, which is actually beneath them like a very comfortable cradle. And it is, isn't it? This earth is like a very comfortable cradle for all human beings. It is created for all of us, and it belongs to us, actually, in the sense that we can use it however we want it, whichever way we decide to use the earth. Collectively, of course, we can do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it tractable for us, as it is mentioned in Surah Mulk, that هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا. He is the one who has made the earth manageable, tractable for you. You have sovereignty over this earth. You do whatever you want over about this earth, which is moving with unimaginable speed. And if we really wanted to bring this under our control, it wouldn't have been possible even if all human beings and jinn would have come together, wanted to make this earth controllable, to live on it. It wouldn't have been possible. With the type of movement of the earth, going round itself, going round the sun going round other things which we do not know, going to a destination. But everything has become so tractable, so manageable for us. سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. He has put everything under your control. So the prophets have come to tell us, look, this is your situation. Everything is under your control by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِهَادٍ تَحْتَهُمْ مَوْضُوعٍ. In that verse of Surah Mulk is a very powerful surah in the sense that it brings the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our minds. Chapter number 78 of the Quran says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبَهَا. You go in the different paths that we have created on this earth for you. وَكُلُوا مِن رِزْقِهِ. Eat from the providence that he has provided for you. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. But remember, you are going to go back to him. You are not going to remain on this earth. وَمَعَايشَ تُحِيهِمْ. And to remind them of the provisions which are on this earth, which are means of their subsistence, their maintenance. And we eat things that the earth grows for us, we do not pay attention, we are actually thriving on this earth. And we think that all these, we actually acquire it by our own efforts and strive, while it's not the case. We just collect them. We just make them to grow as they are there to grow. I mean, if all human beings come together and they want to create one small seed of wheat or barley, they cannot eat. It is just there for us. We just, since it's there, we grow it, we somehow increase it, we have learned how to increase it, how to grow it, how to plant it. But it's all there created for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآجَالٍ تُفْنِيهِمْ. And of course, the prophets are going to remind them of our death as well, that you are going to die. Usually when we are on this earth, we forget. When we are involved in life, we forget that there is a death, there is an appointed time. And the prophets have come to tell us about that as well, and this is very important. The beginning of every religion is, the beginning of exhortation of every prophet is that remember that you are going to die. because this is the most important factor in every human being's life. And therefore, you would see that as opposed to material worldly worldviews that would try to tell us, forget about this, this is something that would come to you anyhow, so why should you remember it and you somehow spoil your pleasures during your life? Don't think about it. The prophets, on the contrary, come to tell us, no, remember your death. They remind us that this is going to come upon us. And this is the beginning of contemplation, the beginning of meditation. So long as you don't think that you are going to die, you do not start to meditate about your life. Life would not become real unless you think about death. If you think about death, then your life would become real for you, it would become valuable. Otherwise, it has no value. You just think about it as something which you are having as a matter of course. Obviously, you should have it. But if you think about it, you will see that, no, this is not the case. وَأَوْصَابًا تُحْرَمُهُمْ. Also to remind us that this world is not very rosy. It's not something that we always are going to get pleasure of. There are, of course, difficulties. There are afflictions which are going to afflict us and are going to make us to somehow تُحْرَمُهُمْ means to grow them old, which makes them to become old quickly due to these afflictions and calamities. وَأَحْدَاثٍ تَتَابَعُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And of course different incidents, events which are good or bad are going to come one after the other to human life and would make the life so changeable, so unpredictable that no one really can rely on anything in this world. It's, of course, this is an old experience of every human being, that this life is not reliable at all. You are healthy, quite healthy now. Tomorrow you don't know what's going to happen to you. You are completely happy today. Tomorrow you don't know, something might come, make you sad, or vice versa. وَلَمْ يُخْلِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ خَلْقَهُ مِنْ نَبِيٍّ مُرْسَلٍ. Now, due to that promise, of course, these are what the prophets are going to say, to tell us. Now, you might say that all these things we know. What's the use of prophets? Of course, we know about God, certainly. However, we don't know how we have to worship it. That's true. But these things which are mentioned here are things which are very obvious. All of us know about it. Now, what is the purpose of prophets coming then, if they are going to tell us all these very obvious things? The whole issue is that these obvious things are forgotten by human beings. This is the knowledge that all of us have, but usually we ignore it. We turn away from it. وَكَمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. How many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they pass by during the day and night, but they just turn away from it. They don't see it. They are so involved in other things that they cannot see these things. So the prophets come only to remind us. This I emphasize again, the Quran is zikr. Zikr is reminder. It's just reminding us things that we already know, that we should know by our fitrah. We should know inside our heart, by our intellect, but we just forget it. It comes as a reminder. Now, after, of course, mentioning this is what the prophets are going to tell the people, due to that promise that Allah, of course, made to Adam at the beginning of his descendants to the earth, that you go to the earth, but do not worry because I'm going to send you guidance, and whenever the guidance comes, whoever follows it, it's just as if you are back here. Do not worry about anything. Then, to fulfill that promise, Amirul Mu'mineen says, وَلَمْ يُخْلِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ خَلْقَهُ مِنْ نَبِيٍّ مُرْسَلٍ أو كتاب منزل أو حجة لازمة أو محجة قائمة. Never it has happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left his creatures without a prophet, a messenger, من نبي مرسل. there has always been either a prophet or our kitab in Munzal. Or if there was not a prophet, there was a book of a prophet which could be followed, which was considerably reliable. Of course, we know that books of the prophets might have been distorted, but the distortion wouldn't have been as such that it would have made them useless. They could have still followed that guidance. The guidance was there still if people wanted that guidance. So the people were never left without either a messenger or a book which was sent down to a messenger. أو حجة لازمة, or even if that book was distorted in a way that people could not follow it, there was always a proof which people could go to. There were, say for example, very, very reliable ulama or rabbaniin, the godly scholars, the scholars which were immersed in the knowledge of God, that people could go to them and find their way. أو محجة قائمة, or there was always a path which was living, which was standing and not dead, and that path could be followed by the people. Now these messengers who, of course we could take this, because this is a statement about the situation of the people before the Prophet of Islam, because then after that Amirul Mu'minin starts to talk about the Prophet of Islam. We could say that before the Prophet of Islam, there was always a messenger. And that messenger had a book, and a hujjah, a proof, and a path, and people could follow them. So this aw, which means or, here it might mean the meaning of adding all these things, might have the meaning of adding all these things together. So a prophet with a book, with a proof, with a path, there always have been such a thing. رُسُلٌ لَا تُقَسِّرُ بِهِمْ قِلَّةُ عَدَدِهِمْ. These prophets, of course, there were very few in number. At every age, there would have been one prophet, or few little number of prophets. But this small number of the prophets, it did not make them to have any shortcoming in passing on the message to the people. لا تقصر بهم قلة عددهم. The small number of these prophets, the scarcity of these prophets, it did not lead to the fact that they did not convey the message. They did it completely as God wanted. ولا كثرة المكذبين لهم. And the great number of those people who denied the prophets, it did not stop them to convey the message of God. And you would see that mostly it was the case that people rejected the prophets. Those who rejected the prophets were much more in number than those who accepted the prophets. However, prophets never felt that this is an impediment, this is something that could have stopped them. They never were stopped by these issues. And this should give us actually a type of relief in heart, a peace in heart. Because usually we see people around themselves, they are so ignorant. Whatever you talk about God, about the spirituality, not only they do not understand, but they ridicule. They somehow start to deride whatever you say about these things. And usually people who are very spiritual are regarded to be somehow mad, lunatic, or out of the way by other people. Why? Because they think that this is not the way to live. Now, if this is the case, even if you live in such a society, the relief is that it has always been the case. You shouldn't think that this is something that's something very new. Especially in old times. Usually we think that in old times all people were religious. Now we have entered the age of modernity, the religion is in retreat, and the religious people are defensive. This is not the case. Especially if we think historically, we can see that this is the age of religion. Religious people are are not on defensive, they are on offensive actually at the moment. There were times where prophets or people who were supporting the prophet, there were so few in number that you would have really thought that these people were mad. Everyone else was taking an opposite side. Think about the time of Prophet Noah alayhi salam. Of course, we don't know how many were the population at that time. But they say, it is mentioned in our hadith, of course, we don't have a written history about the time of Noah alayhi salam, it's just come from our hadith, that he preached for 950 years, as is mentioned in the Quran, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. 1,000 years minus 950 years, he preached. Of course, he lived longer than that. And it is mentioned in the hadith that only 80 people believed in him in all these long years. And no one, even his family, did not accept him. Now, this did not, of course, put Nuh alayhi salam off to say, okay, since they are not going to accept, maybe I'm wrong, maybe they are right, maybe this is the way it should be. Now, the type of firmness of the prophet should give us a type of lesson. And this is why whenever Prophet, peace be on him, was somehow sad because of the treatment of, that his people gave to him, the way they treated him, the way they somehow derided the prophet because of, I mean, when you know something is truth for 100% and you tell it to people and they all laugh at you, you just imagine what type of attitude you would assume inside yourself. You think, why these people are doing all these things to me? I'm telling them the utter truth, the sheer truth I'm telling them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran once after another giving relief to the Prophet that look at the history of your predecessors, the previous Prophet. Look how they were treated. They were all denied, they were all defied by the people. People defied them, denied them, fought against them. So all these things, of course, they were gone. However, Allah wanted to fulfill His promise. Sometimes one might feel that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so insisting on this guidance. I mean, we always think from our own side. Sometimes it's good to think from Allah's side as well. Why is He insisting so much? People do not accept it. I mean, He has sent so many hundreds of thousands of prophets. They were either killed or tortured or banished and all. They did not want to accept. Why is He insisting on this? Why is He pressing on this all the time? That there should come some guidance. People should have this guidance. And, of course, the reason is that, first of all, He has promised that He would not leave human beings without guidance. And even if everyone rejects that guidance, Allah is going to fulfill that promise. Secondly, He is caring even about the sinful to maybe they come back, maybe they understand. There's this very nice hadith mentioned about Isa alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells to Isa, Ya Isa, kam uthilu nazar wa uqsinu talab wa nasu la yarji'un. How nicely I should call. In all possible ways, I have called these people to come to me. Sometimes I have threatened them, sometimes I have given them good promise, sometimes I have given them good preaching, you have come to them with love, with affection, and whatever way it was there to call these people. And how long I should wait that these people might come back to me, and no one comes. People are not coming back to me. Now you might say, why God is doing all these things? And, well, of course, as very spoiled, arrogant creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we might say, well, this is His duty. He has created us, He should guide us, even if we do not accept it, even if we reject it, it's His duty, He should guide us. Well, that's right, because He said in the Quran as well, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَىٰ. It's my duty to guide. And you should know that وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخَرَةَ وَالْأُولَىٰ. Everything belongs to me, certain you will come back to me one day, even if you reject now. However, the insistence of the prophets coming without any fear, without being put off of their mission, with all those difficulties, is something which we have to ponder about. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen says here, that رُسُلٌ لَا تُؤَثَّرُ بِهِمْ قِلَّةُ عَدَدِهِمْ وَلَا كَثْرَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ بِهِمْ. The number, the great number of those who denied them, who belied them, it did not put them off. And among these prophets were مِنْ سَابِقٍ سُمِّيَ لَهُ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ. Some of these prophets who came before others, they were سَابِق. And the prophet who should have come after them was named for them. سُمِّيَ لَهُ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ. And all the prophets were like this. Of course, here Amir al-Mu'min says مِنْ سَابِقٍ سُمِّيَ لَهُ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ, meaning that all the prophets, they knew that another prophet is going to come after them. And the name of that prophet was mentioned for them. And they had to somehow start to prepare the way for the coming of the next prophet, telling to the people that such and such prophet is going to come after me, you have to follow me. أَوْ غَابِرٍ عَرَّفَهُ مَنْ قَبْلَهُ. Or a prophet which came after another prophet, and the previous prophet had actually introduced him to the people. As we have in the case of Isa alayhi salam, as it's mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Saf, that he names the Prophet of Islam by a name, and this Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, that he is going to come. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ. When Isa said, I am the messenger of God to you, I approve whatever came before me in the book. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. And I'm giving the good tidings of another messenger coming after me, whose name is Ahmad. And this was the case with all the messengers. They were mentioned what was the name of the coming prophet. They were told what was the name of the coming prophet, and they had to actually introduce him to the people, as it was in the case of our prophet. And it was even more than that, and in the sense that, as we have in the Quran, in Surah Al Imran, that there was a pledge taken from prophets that they should work towards preparation for the coming prophets, preparing the way for that prophet to come and convey the message to the coming generations. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. When we took the pledge from the prophets, لَمَّا عَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ. That when I give you book and wisdom, hikmah, of course, wisdom is that type of quality in the prophets that they could say certainly 100% what is right, what is wrong. لَمَا عَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. Then a messenger comes after you, approving and confirming what you are preaching. لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتُصَدِّقَنَّ بِهِ لَتُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ. Something like this. That you have to believe in that prophet, and you have to help him, to pave the way for him. As we have John the Baptist, for example, he paved the way for Jesus Christ. Musa alayhi salam paved the way for the coming prophets after him. Ibrahim alayhi salam paved the way for the prophets. For example, we have when Yusuf alayhi salam was on his deathbed, he promised, he told to Banu Israel that someone is coming with the name Musa. When he comes, you have to follow him. And of course, it took several generations, but it was passed down generation to generation that the prophet is going to come, whose name is Musa. And when he comes, he would deliver us from hardship, and we have to follow him. And this was the case with all the prophets. And as is mentioned in the Quran, Isa telling that a prophet is coming after him whose name is Ahmad, this was not an exception. It was a rule for all the prophets. And here it says, Amir al-Mu'minin mentions that all these prophets, some of them were Sahabah, coming before others. سُمِّيَ لَهُ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ The name of the coming prophet was mentioned to them. Maybe not, of course, the immediate prophet, but prophets coming in several generations later. أَوْ غَادِرًا عَرَّفَهُ مَنْ قَبْلَهُ Or a prophet who came afterwards, and those who the previous prophets had actually introduced him to people. And this, of course, is not limited to the very immediate previous prophets. The prophets going many generations before might have introduced different prophets coming after themselves. And this was the case not only with Christians, of course, that they knew a prophet was going to come, Ismuhu Ahmad. The Jews also had the indications and the characteristics of our prophet in their books, as it was mentioned by previous prophets prior to Isa alayhi salam, be it Musa or other prophets. And this is why we have in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ those to whom we have given the book, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ They know these prophets as they know their sons. It is so clearly specified or described for them the characteristics, the qualities, the indications leading to this prophet are so clearly mentioned in their books that they know him as they know their sons. So clear for them. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ But they don't want to listen. They turn away, of course. عَلَى ذَلِكَ نَفَلَتْ الْقُرُونَ On this manner, on this pattern, the generations came after generation. وَمَضَتِ الدُّهُورِ And time passed and passed. وَسَلَفَتِ الْآبَاءِ And fathers came. وَحَلَفَتِ الْأَبْنَاءِ Fathers passed away. خَلَفَتِ الْأَبْنَاءِ Sons came and replaced them. إِلَىٰ أَنْ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad, peace be on him, as a messenger to the people. Then there are descriptions of the Prophet that we leave it, inshallah, for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Tahir. Yeah. Okay, you think about it and we get some other questions. Yes.
My understanding is that the people of the Hijaz turned to the Jews for affirmation of the prophethood of our Holy Prophet through their books and through their scripture. And many of the Jewish scholars actually affirmed the prophethood. So why is it that they were still the bitter enemies of Islam?
Well, actually, as I said, the descriptions of the Prophet were mentioned in those books. And historically, it said that those few Jew tribes who had come to Medina, because Jews originally didn't live there, they migrated there on the assumption that a Prophet is going to come in this area, and they had come there because of those indications which they found in those books. We don't know what type of books they were or what Torah they read, because it has changed also, and different people, different Jews read different type of Torah. But they came there for that reason. The only reason they rejected the Prophet was that he was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, and they did not expect. Or maybe they expected it, because there were indications that this, of course, this prophet who is going to come is a Gentile, not a Jew. But they probably thought that there are some explanations for this. They never could accept a prophet from Gentiles, because they really didn't think Gentiles were human beings. they thought that they were inferior creatures and no prophet could come from among these Gentiles to Israelites. And that's why the Quran very strongly opposes this opinion. They called in their Arab language of the time of the Jews, they called Gentiles Ummi. This concept of the Prophet to be an Ummi, which is translated usually as illiterate, is completely a wrong translation and a wrong explanation, which has actually creeped into all our tafasir, most of our tafasir. Ummi was a term used by Jews to refer to Gentiles. Now, if you look in different verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you think that these ummiin are no ones, while these are the people equal to you. Allah could give His grace to ummiin as He could give it to anyone else. They used to say that ummiin are there for us to manipulate, to take their rights, because they have no rights. ذَلِكَ بَأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فَالْأُمِّيِّينَ سَبِيلٌ. They said that ummiin are there, we can do whatever we want to do, take their money, take their property, it's halal for us, as sometimes we have this concept of that whatever kuffar has is halal for Muslims. It's the same type of opinion they had. Now, in Surah Jum'ah, very categorically, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Of course, it doesn't mean that he sent a prophet to illiterates, or from among themselves. It doesn't make sense. He's from among the Gentiles. He sent, he gave message to a prophet from the Gentiles. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He gives the signs, وَيُذَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Now, if you put yourself in place of a Jew of that time, these verses are really bothering, because it says, this prophet coming from Gentiles, he teaches the book, he teaches wisdom, which was the monopoly of Jews, of course. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. And then he says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهَ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. This is the grace of God, gives it to whoever he wants, whether Jew or Gentile. You cannot argue about this. Then, of course, all the Surah Jum'ah is an argument between Jews and Gentiles, actually. Allah is arguing on behalf of Gentiles with the Jews. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونَ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ. If you think no one can go close to God but you, if you think you are awliya Allah, you are friends of God, so why are you so immersed in this material world? Why don't you wish to die and go to the Lord? فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And then it tells us, look, وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They never would wish to die because of what they have done. So, the reason that the Jews really rejected the Prophet was that he was not a Jew. And this was something which was thrown at their face by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They couldn't accept this reason.
If you go back in time, now, as far as I understand, we are the generation of the Adam that we believe in. And I think there was a question was asked to Mawlana Islam, what was before Adam? He said, Adam, before that Adam. So, if that explanation that has got last, if that is the correct explanation, does it mean that every Adam that was created by Allah, that was the prophet, that Adam was the prophet for that community, and then the community was destroyed, and then again recreated in a different place of the world. Otherwise, how did, and then the other version, or the other hypothesis is that there was one central point where Adam was created, and then the community spread out. So that was the first message. And then, as the community expanded in different places, then Allah raised
particular prophet in that particular community. Is that how it happens?
You mean different original human beings were created in different areas of the earth?
Yes. If that, if the first explanation is correct, with that when Imam Ali was asked what was before Adam, he said there was another Adam before that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you are aware of that. So.
Okay, and before, how long before you mean?
I don't know. I mean, not there.
Maybe thousands of years before. Yes. 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 So, what is the argument now? What is
the point is that, okay, if when first Adam was created, and so that Adam was the prophet for the community,
mm-hmm.
and then when, as it is said, that we are the community of the Adam that we believe in.
Yes.
Okay. And that before that there was another creation.
Yes.
Which was then destroyed. So like this, there are so many creations,
yeah.
Allah, and every the first person that was created by Allah for every the cycle of creation, that was the Adam for that community.
Yeah.
And he brought the message for that community.
But they were not living simultaneously. I mean,
yeah,
those Ahadith, they say that they perish and then after thousands of years, another generation of human beings came.
They were not living simultaneously. So one generation came and then they would destroy, another generation came and they would destroy. That is how one of the experiences is given. I'm keeping that on side. Now, so let us say we concentrate on Adam that we are from,
yes.
the community. Now, if that was the only first message that was given by Allah to Adam or Adam, now that means that there must have been one central point on earth where this first community started.
Yes.
And then the community from that point
it is spread out.
Yes. Now then, when that community spread out, the message that was given by Adam was carried forward wherever they settled down.
Yes.
And then, gradually, maybe that message was sort of forgotten or sort of...
So then the prophets were, I mean...
Yeah, so the prophets then, as the community expanded, then the different prophets were created by Allah, raised by Allah amongst the community, sending the message.
Yeah.
Is that how it happened?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, apparently, yes. The day spread out, they went to somehow adventurous journeys to find out about different places on earth. We have, for example, in Hadith that Idris was the first person who set foot on the land of Egypt, for example, and he was a few generations after Adam alayhi salam. He came with some of his family and children and settled there, and that is the origin of all knowledge of Egypt, because Prophet Idris was outstanding among other prophets with a type of knowledge given about nature to him, doing difference in knowledge given about the astronomy, knowledge given to him about physics, about architecture, and he was the originator of many, many different types of knowledge in Egypt. And that's why we find Egypt to be actually the cradle of science and knowledge. It could be explained in this way, that for example, these were a group of people coming with Idris to Egypt. Others might have gone to other parts of the world living there. Of course, at the beginning there were lots of fighting feuds over the land, and since the land was so tremendously more than the population, they could go wherever they wanted and they settled wherever they wanted. So sometimes the fighting drove them to go to very, very far away lands and settle there and start a community there, aloof from other Banu Adam.
So when Idris settled down in Egypt, was that the only group then, or there were other people there existing?
No, they were the only human beings going there, and then they started to to grow in numbers.
Yeah, that's what I mean now. My question, if I can prolong my question. So that was the whole community.
Yeah.
Who went to Egypt and settled down.
Yeah.
So like that, for example, wherever the community started, it was
an offshoot of the bigger community.
Yeah. But then, either that offshoot went with one particular prophet or without the prophet.
Yeah.
And then amongst
them, Allah raised another prophet.
Prophet like that. So, presumably this message spread out like that.
Yeah.
And so if you were to ask every community on the earth now, we would be able to trace back possibly
to
a particular prophet.
Mm. Yeah, that's possible. Yes. Until the time of Ibrahim, where Allah put all prophets in his progeny, and of course many, many generations went before Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yeah. Yes.
Sheikh, we're talking about and you preached for 950 years. Now, you make the assumption that the people you preached to didn't live that long, they were like us.
Yeah.
You must have lived among tens of generations, if not dozens. All intents and purposes, you would achieve immortality for that. I don't understand how they didn't follow him. I mean, if anything, rather than refuse him, they would worship him.
No, they said he's an old madman. I mean, it is. We have in hadith that usually fathers brought their sons to Nuh, telling them that this is an old madman, never go near him, never listen to him, because he might deceive you. And in this way, this idea of that this is an old madman was somehow perpetuated in society. And since, of course, people were materially inclined, they didn't want to listen to such a person, all the time preaching them about God, about hereafter, about death. And they say he's preached, well, we can imagine, he said he's preaching this, preaching us about death, and he never dies himself. I mean, so a type of very, very strange prophet. Yeah.